your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Again, let me say thank you for the team camp and for all that you do. Your preacher is an amazing man, and I appreciate the work that goes into this. I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning. Now, I had the privilege of being up here, and it's Brother Butler, right? What a message. What a blessing. I went over and talked to him afterward, and I said, how'd you know what I was going to be preaching on? Because he led right into it this morning. If you were in the Sunday school, you're gonna appreciate the fact that he led right into what I'm going to be teaching. He was talking about the armor of God. And he had several good points about the armor of God. And what a blessing it was. And the thing is, he says you got to have the right armor. And you gotta wear the right armor. And he didn't get into all the details here. I tell you, I'm tempted to just stay here for another. How long are you gonna be in this series? I'm tempted to just stay here so I can listen to the series, amen? Because it was good. But he was talking about the armor, and he was explaining how, you know, the armor is so important, and he talked about the things about the armor, and he was talking about, you know, being in a church is physical armor. Being sitting in a church service is doing physical things. That is not spiritual armor. And you need spiritual armor if you're going to fight in the battle. And just being in church is physical. I mean, just reading your Bible is physical. Just doing those things that we do because we do them are just physical things. And that physical thing is not going to help you at a spiritual level. And he was talking about that, and he was talking about putting on the right armor. Now, I want to talk about somebody this morning, and I want to talk about someone that is probably one of the most well-known characters in the entire Bible. People who are saved, there's no question they know this name. People who are not saved, people that have never set a foot in church one day in their life, probably know this name. When I tell you the name, you're going to go, oh yeah, everybody knows that. And if I were to say Zechariah, people would go, huh? Even some Christians would go, huh? Who's Zechariah? And if I were to say Malachi, you go, Malachi. I wonder who that is. But if I were to say the Apostle Paul, okay, all Christians know who that is. But if I say Apostle Paul to lost people, they'd go, who's that? Some of them. If I were to say, well, what about Peter? Almost everybody's heard of Peter. I mean, even you go to the Vatican and they've got St. Peter's Basilica, okay? And they've got a statue of St. Peter. Everybody knows about Peter, but there are some people that never heard of Peter. But there's one guy that I think everybody has heard of. And when I say the name, you're going to go, oh yeah, everybody knows that. And it's probably one of the most popular names that we hear about, not in a necessarily good sense, not necessarily in a bad sense, but we hear about it. The name is Judas Iscariot. Judas. You know, everybody knows about Judas. Judas was, I mean, I used to live down south. Someone said this morning, we were talking, and they said, so where are you from? And I told them I was from the Yukon. I've been here for 26 years. And they said, well, you don't sound like a Canadian. I don't have a Canadian accent. Eh? All of my Canadians over here going, yeah, okay. I always get a kick out of it when I go to a store or a restaurant or anything in the summer, and I walk up and I'm trying to buy something. They say, where are you from? And I go, here. And they go, no. And so that everybody's clear, my daddy always told me, never ask a man where he's from. Okay? Never. If he's from Texas, he will tell you. Amen? And if he's not, you don't want to embarrass him. Amen? So, guess where I'm from? Amen. All right. So, any rate, I grew up down south, okay? And a lot of times when you have animals that we used to raise animals and we would take them. I know this is going to offend some people, but this is Alaska. Get over it, okay? We'd take them to the slaughterhouse, all right? I mean, you raise animals to eat. I'm sorry. You don't raise animals. I know people raise animals for pets. I understand that. But on the farm, you do not name an animal, okay? And the reason you don't name it is you're going to eat it later, amen? And there's something about eating, I don't know, whatever your name of your pet is, Fido or whatever. Of course, I don't know whether I'd eat Fido. But at any rate, the point is you don't name animals. You take them to the slaughterhouse. And the slaughterhouse was an interesting place because you put all the critters in a corral or in a pen. And then you, a lot of times, especially with sheep, if you've got sheep, what you do is you've got to get them up the chute into the slaughter part. And they'd go up the chute and then as they'd narrow down in the chute, they would get into that chute and then it would open up one at a time and they'd bring the sheep in and they would, I won't go into all the details, they would slaughter them, okay? And there would be the blood and sheep would smell the blood. Sheep can smell and they smell the blood and they wouldn't want to go. So when you've got the sheep in the pen, the slaughter pen, waiting to go up the chute, you can't just push them into the chute. Sheep are like trying to push water up a chute. Okay, you're not going to push them up there. So, because you'd push them in and they'd go in a circle. You never could get them to go into the chute. So what they did was they had a trained goat. Okay, that they would train the goat. He would go into the pen. He would wander around the sheep. He would get them familiar with him and then he would go up the chute. And sheep are followers. They would follow this goat up the chute. And at the top of the chute, they would open a gate, let that goat out, then close the gate, and the sheep behind the one in front would push the one in front, and it would go on into the slaughterhouse, all right? That goat had a name. Anybody know what the name of that goat was? A Judas goat. It was a Judas goat. Of all of the names that I can think of, Judas is probably the most hated name in the world. People name their children anything but Judas. If you go down to Mexico, they've got names like Jesus. We name our kids Paul, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew. We name them Matthew, Zach, for Zachariah and Zeke, and all these different names we've got. But nobody names their kid Judas. How many Judases are in here? Nobody names their kid Judas. Judas is probably one of the most hated names in all the world. Everybody thinks of Judas and they go, oh, what a traitor. What a horrible guy. What a terrible, terrible guy. Judas, what a name. I want you to look with me, if you will, at the Gospel of John. And I want you to look with me at verse number 64. I want to read about this guy for just a moment. And then I want to talk about him because he's an interesting fellow. Chapter 6 of John and verse number 64. If you found the place, would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God just by way of reverence to God's Word? The Bible says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? I'm sorry. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we come before your throne this morning. Father, I pray that you'd still my heart. You'd calm my spirit. Father, I pray that you'd preach through me. God, I pray that you'd use this message to touch our hearts and our lives, and God, that we'd come away rejoicing for having been in your house. Father, I pray that you would change us. Do something in our hearts and in our lives that a man cannot do. Please, God, may your Holy Spirit have free course this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Judas, one of the 12. The Bible says he was a devil. He was numbered with the 12, and yet Jesus said, I've chosen you, and yet one of you is a devil. If I were to ask you a question here, knowing what we just read, was Judas saved? Nobody's. Okay, let's try again. Was Judas saved? No way. There's no way he was saved. There's no possible way he was saved. This man, the Bible said that he betrayed Christ, and over in the book of Acts, Peter preaching said he went to his own place. Listen, there's no question in my mind where Judas Iscariot is this very moment. Judas Iscariot, if there was ever a person that I know for sure ended up in hell, is Judas Iscariot. Besides the rich man. We know that he ended up there. Okay, but Judas Iscariot ended up in hell. There's no question about it. The Bible tells us over and over and over that he was a devil, that he was the son of perdition. In John 17, none of them is lost, Jesus said, except the son of perdition. Mark 14, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were for that man, he had never been born. There is no doubt that Judas is in hell. Some people have said it like this. I've heard preachers say he literally kissed the door to heaven and went directly to hell. Judas is in hell. The fact that I want to establish before I even start the message here is I want you to comprehend there is no question Judas is in hell. Now, I'm going to give you a second fact before I start the message. If Judas had ever gotten saved, Judas would not have gone to hell. Okay? Now, let me try to make that clear, okay? If Judas had ever accepted Christ as his personal Savior, if he had ever put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas, the Bible said, would have been given eternal life. John chapter 5 and verse number 24 makes it exceedingly clear. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If Judas had accepted Christ as his Savior, if Judas had been born again, if Judas had been saved, there is no doubt that Judas would not be in hell. So what are you saying? I'm saying Judas never, ever, 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 ever got saved. He didn't get saved and lose it. He didn't get saved and fall backward and get backslidden and away from God and end up in hell. Judas never got saved. But now, wait a minute. He sure looked like it. He sure looked like it. If you were to have asked the 12, the 11, the other 11, which one is the devil? They wouldn't have known. In fact, at the Last Supper, right before they were giving communion, right, we call it communion, right before the Lord gave the body and blood, he said, to Judas, he said, to the 12, he said, one of you shall betray me. And all of them came up one at a time and said, is it me? Is it me? The only one that didn't was Judas. Judas was the only one that didn't. And Judas went to him, and Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. Get out of here. He ran him out. Judas went out and betrayed him. Okay? Judas never was saved, but all the disciples thought that he was. Everybody that looked at him thought he was. Everybody that was around him thought Judas is the picture of a perfect Christian. I looked at that and I got to thinking, Judas, and the lesson you had this morning was right on target. He had all the armor. He looked right. He looked good. And he busted hell wide open. I want to talk about Judas this morning. I've titled the message, Lessons from Judas. In fact, for our folks that are here, they're getting to hear this a second time. I told them that. I've done a little series on Judas, and this was my introduction to that series. But some of them need it. Anyway, no, I want to talk about Judas this morning. I want to give you two or three things that I see, and I'll go very quickly. I want to give you two or three things this morning that I think are critical that you understand concerning Judas. First of all, I want you to notice about Judas. And now, as I said, Judas was not saved. Judas went to hell. But Judas looked right. I want to give you three things that Judas had that did not make for salvation. I want to give you three things that Judas had. Number one, I want you to notice something here. Judas had some comprehension of the Word of God. Judas understood the Word of God. Judas had been around the Word of God. Judas had a comprehension of the things of God. If I were to put it in a different way, I might say it like this. Judas had connections. Do you know that Judas actually knew Jesus? I'm always going to kick out of people when they talk about winning somebody to the Lord. They'll come up and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" Frankly, I don't care whether you know him or not. Is he your Savior? Therein lies the difference. Judas knew Jesus. He walked with him 3.5 years. He was walking with him. He slept beside him. He was in the lessons, and he was listening to the preaching. He rubbed shoulders with the disciples. He knew Jesus personally. He knew him visually. He knew him by name. He knew him. He knew his intricacies. He knew his intimacies. He knew the things that he did. He knew the places that he went. He knew how he prayed. He knew Jesus. And he went to hell anyway. I run into a lot of people. I get the privilege of preaching because I'm a missionary and I travel and I go to different churches that support me. I get the privilege of preaching in a lot of different churches. And you know, almost every church that I go to, every one of them, the people in there, I've never met anybody yet. When I talk about Jesus, they go, "Who?" Okay. They all know Jesus. But I guarantee you not all of them are saved. Just because you know the name Jesus doesn't mean you're saved. You remember when Jesus was walking and he came upon a man that was possessed of devils, and then the devil said, "Thou Son of God, what have we to do with thee?" They knew who Jesus was. I mean, Satan knows who Jesus is. He understands him. He knows him. He knows he's the Son of God. And he's still not going to go to heaven. The Bible says even the devils tremble. They know who he is. You say, "Well, I know who Jesus is, so I must be headed for heaven." That has nothing to do with your going to heaven. Amen. Not one thing. Just because you know who Jesus is. I mean, Judas had connections. He knew Jesus. He knew him on a personal basis. He knew him on an intimate basis. All four Gospels record Judas as being one of the chosen 12. He was chosen by Jesus. He was accompanied with Jesus for 3.5 years. He heard all that Jesus taught. He knew him. He spoke to him. He felt his touch, and yet he still went to hell. Just because you feel Jesus doesn't mean you're saved. Judas wasn't. Let me give you something else. He knew not only the Son of God, he knew the servants of God. Boy, this is right up the alley of what you were preaching, being in church. Sitting in church. He knew the servants of God. He rubbed shoulders with the other disciples. He was there all the time. He was buddies. He was their friend. He would go up and he would see them in the mornings, on Sunday mornings, and he'd shake hands and give them a big hug and say, "Man, it's good to see you, brother." He knew them. They loved him. He loved them. Just because you know the saints and the other servants doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That has nothing to do with going to heaven. Somehow we think, "Well, I'm friends with so-and-so." It doesn't matter who you're friends with. Friends doesn't count in, it doesn't mean a whole lot. If you're, I've known people that use their friendships to try to get something out of somebody or something. They'll use a friendship to manipulate a government agency or something. I'm a friend of so and so. And they'll drop names. I know preachers that do that. They drop names. Okay. Somebody will call me sometimes and want to come in. You probably have this too. They're wanting to come in and present a mission work somewhere. And they call and say, listen, I'm with so and so missions agency. Okay. Who are you? Well, I'm with so and so missions agency. Okay. Tell me about yourself. I don't know if you go through these conversations. I had an evangelist come. Well, I didn't have him come. Somebody else had him come, and he was coming through town, and he called me up, and he says, Brother Harrison. And I said, yes. He says, I was given your name by so-and-so. And I go, okay, because I know so-and-so. And he says, and they told me to give you a call. We have this ministry that we do thus and thus and thus and thus and thus. And I won't tell you what it is because you might know him. You might like him. I don't know. But at any rate, he says, I'm going to be coming through, and I'd like to present the work. And you know, do a little ministry there for you. And I said, great, brother. I said, tell me about yourself. Oh, I graduated from Bob Jones University. Okay. Where's your home church? Brother, I graduated from Bob Jones University. That's all you need to know. That tells you everything there is about me. And I said, brother, I don't mean to be offensive here. But that is not a compliment to me. Okay? Just because you graduated at Bob Jones University does not make you a hero. In fact, quite the contrary, you're going to have to give me something to explain why I should let you come in spite of the fact you went to Bob Jones. Okay? And he goes, well, you mean, and I said, yes, I mean, there are good men that come out of Bob Jones, I think. Okay, I'm not sure, brother. You probably know some that do. I'm not sure. Maybe there are, okay? But being a graduate of Bob Jones University, that's not an impressive thing for me, okay? Somebody says, well, I'm a graduate of... I'm sorry, we got some Fairhaven folks here today. I'm a graduate of Fairhaven. Wonderful. Now tell me about yourself, okay? What I know of Fairhaven, it's a good college. And I wouldn't have any trouble sending somebody there, probably. Maybe. But just because you're a graduate of Fairhaven, don't make you who I want in my pulpit. Dropping names ain't going to help. Tell me who you are. Tell me what you believe. You know, I know people that come out of the college that I went to. Okay? And I went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And I graduated a Baptist in spite of them. Okay? I want you to know that. Okay? Somebody said, well, I'm a graduate of Baptist Bible College. And I go, you ain't ever coming, okay? But the point is, I know people out of my college that are real good, sound, strong, Bible-believing, independent Baptists. And I know people out of my college that turned homosexual. By the way, they come out of every college doing that now, okay? What are you saying? Just because you drop a name doesn't impress me. Judas was dropping names. Hey, man, I ran and rubbed shoulders with the 11 disciples, and God said, you're not getting in heaven for that. Just because you rub shoulders with Brother McGovern, I know Brother McGovern. When I get to heaven and I stand before God, and he says, why should I let you in heaven? And I go, I know Brother McGovern. You know what he's going to tell me? Get out of here, man. He says, now, if you'd have said, I know Brother Wright, that's totally different. I'd have never got in front of the throne. All right. The point I'm trying to make is, it don't matter who you know. It doesn't matter. When people say, well, I rub shoulders with, here's my favorite, I'm an independent Baptist. Does that mean you're going to heaven? Not one bit. It's like saying, well, I got baptized at Independent Baptist Church, so I'm going to heaven. Pardon me, I don't know. You don't have any spiritual soap in that baptistry, do you? No soap in the baptistry! In fact, I'd be a little nervous getting in there. They never put any soap in there. No, I'm kidding. No, the point is this, all right? Going in that baptistry doesn't wash away any of your sins. Don't tell me who you rub shoulders with. Don't tell me to know the name Jesus. I know the name, but the name won't get you to heaven. When you stand before God and He says, "Why should I let you in heaven?" and you go, "Oh, because I know the name Jesus," He's going to say, "Okay, that doesn't count." I grew up in Texas, and it's always amazing to a lot of people that have never been around Spanish speakers that you see somebody with the name Jesus, and when they write it down, you know how you spell Jesus? J-E-S-U-S. And you see this guy says, "Your name is Jesus?" And they go, "No, it's Jesus." They'll correct you. They'll say, they don't like to be called Jesus. They want to be called Jesus. But it's just Jesus in Spanish. That's all it is. Jesus. Now, I don't know. I'd have trouble naming my kid Jesus, okay? I just have more reverence for the name than that. But somebody says, "Well, I'm going to get to heaven because I know Jesus." Well, I know a lot of little Jesuses that run around. Amen? I've met several of them. When you go down south, I've got a pastor friend down there whose name is Jesus. Okay, and Jesus preaches about Jesus. And I go, "Yeah," I give him a hard time about that. The point is, just because you know the name ain't going to get you in heaven. Just because you know other Christians ain't going to get you in heaven. Well, Brother Larry, Judas didn't get in heaven. He had all the right connections. He had all the right, with knowing the right people. Maybe there was more to it than that. Well, not only that, but he was pretty cognizant of what it was all about. What do you mean? Judas sat at the feet of Jesus for 3.5 years. You've been sitting under Brother McGovern's feet for how long now? 3 years. Brother, you've done an awesome job with that young man. I listened to him this morning, and I thought, wow. Now, his head's going to be so big he can't get out that door by the time I'm done. Okay. But the truth of the matter is, what an awesome job. He's sat at your feet for 3.5 years. He's learned from you. He's gleaned from you. He's picked up things from you. He's watched you study. He's watched you teach. He's watched the way you prepare. I listened to him this morning, and I thought, there's Terry McGovern Jr. Amen? Standing up there. I mean, it was a machine gun, just as fast as he could talk. Fact after fact after fact after fact. And I thought, there's Terry McGovern all over again. I mean, spit an image. He's a little better looking. But... Well, your hair is turning. Yeah, it's getting a little gray. Mine's turned loose, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I asked Brother Wright this morning, what was that stuff on his face? And he said, "What you don't have on your head." So anyway, man, you've sat under his feet for 3 years. You've learned. You've gleaned from him. You've picked up things from him. Could you imagine, brother, if you'd sat at Jesus' feet for 3.5 years. Now, Brother McGovern's a good man, and I love him, and I appreciate him. And he's a good teacher, obviously. But could you imagine sitting at Jesus' feet? Man, those 11 disciples sat at Jesus' feet, and 3.5 years later, changed the world! Literally! Judas was one of them. He sat there for 3. If there was anybody that understood the Scriptures, it would have been Judas. I don't care how much Bible you got memorized. I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care what you think about the Word of God, how knowledgeable you are. That won't get you into heaven. Judas went directly to hell, and he was very cognizant of the Scriptures. He had sat at the feet of Jesus. He was not only cognizant of the Scriptures, not only did he know the Scriptures, he not only knew all of that, he knew the very plan of salvation. You say, well, if he knew the plan of salvation, he would have gotten saved. No, no, no. I know for sure he knew the plan of salvation. How do you know, Brother Larry? Well, because the Bible tells us that Jesus sent out the disciples, and they literally led people to the Lord. Judas was one of those 12. Let me get this really clear here. Judas literally took someone, took the Scriptures and said, "Let me show you how to get saved." And they got saved. Judas wasn't. But Judas led other people to the Lord. Because nobody knew that he was lost. He was doing all the same things all the other disciples were doing. And Judas went directly to hell. Judas went to hell. Our churches today are literally full of people who have the right answers. They pray. They study the scriptures. They even win people to the Lord. And they're going to go to hell. They're full of that. And I'm not saying this one in particular. I'm saying churches everywhere. And by the way, this church is probably no different. Whitehorse, where I pastor. Probably maybe even some of our teens that I brought with me. I want to make sure that you understand. Just because you know Pastor Harrison ain't getting you in heaven. Now that'll get you real close. Let me explain something to you. It's not comprehension. Give me a second thing. I've got 3 points and I'm going to go real quick on the last two. Okay. Second thing, it's not your character. It's not your comprehension, it's not your character. What do you mean character? Well, your conduct won't get you into heaven. And like I say, I'm going to go real fast on these because I got to get them out. Okay. Clean living. Judas, he lived a good life. Nobody recognized. Judas wasn't going out at night and getting drunk. Judas wasn't carousing around, running around with wild women and song. Judas wasn't doing all those wild things. Judas was doing everything that he was supposed to be doing. The other disciples looked at him and said, wow, he's a perfect Christian. And Judas went to hell. Your conduct will not get you into heaven. Your conduct has nothing to do with it. Judas was doing all the right things. He had clean living. He lived with the Lord for 3.5 years he put on this show. And he still was lost. His Christian works wouldn't get him into heaven. Judas did all the things the other disciples did. You read about Judas and the things that he did. He literally cast out devils, the Bible says. Jesus sent them out and they all came back and said, we've cast out devils in thy name. We've done all these wonderful things. But if you read over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, the Bible says that Jesus is going to look at those disciples that come to him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name? And thy name do many marvelous works. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It doesn't matter what you do. Well, I clean the church building every week. Well, Rudy toot toot for you. That's still not going to get you into heaven. Well, I've brought 20 people to church. Well, wonderful for you. That ain't going to get you into heaven. I teach a Sunday school class. Well, that is marvelous. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. Well, I go out and visit and hand out tracts. Well, whoop-de-doo. That ain't going to get you into heaven. Now, all those things are good. And you need to be doing them if you're saved. But if you're counting on that for your salvation, you are lost as a goose in a snowstorm. You're lost as you can be. Judas Iscariot was lost and doing all those things. He was doing all those things and he was still lost. I'll tell you something else that won't get you into heaven. I'm trying to hurry here. His character. We saw that his comprehension wouldn't get him into heaven. We saw that his character wouldn't get him into heaven. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 27, and I'll close here very quickly. I want you to see this. I don't want to just tell it to you. I want you to see it. I know you trust me to tell you what the Scripture says, but I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 27, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, what's that next word? What's that next word? Out loud, I want to hear it. Judas repented, the Bible says, repented himself, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And he said, what is, and they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas repented. Let that soak in for a minute. After Judas, at the very end of his life, people say, well, I'll live the way I want to live, and at the very end of my life, I'll just repent of it and it'll all be good. Judas repented. And you told me when we started this that you thought Judas was still in hell. Do you still think so? Let me ask you again. I asked you to ask out loud. I did that on purpose, okay? I just showed you where Judas repented and was sorrowful and said, I've sinned. Let me give you another word for that. He confessed. He repented and he confessed. Now, I'm going to ask you, is Judas in hell? Some of you got a questioning look on your face now. You were real positive a while ago. Is Judas in hell? Yes! No question about it. Judas is in hell. There is no question. Well, Brother Larry, I thought all you had to do was confess and repent and you'd go to heaven. Judas did it. Well, it's not the same thing. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't read my Bible correctly somewhere along the way. It didn't say Judas repented differently than everybody else. Did you read that? Well, Judas, he didn't really confess his sin, didn't he? He said, I betrayed innocent blood. Let me ask you a question. I'm about to close here. What does it take to be saved? If it's not comprehension, because that didn't work for Judas, if it's not character, what you do, because that didn't work for Judas, if it's not confession, repentance and confessing your sin, then what is it? Because those things didn't help Judas. Are you listening? They didn't help Judas one iota. I hope I've brought all of that to this point. I hope that I've made you go, wow. What does it take? I hope I've brought you to the point that you realize, what am I trusting for my salvation? It's not what you know. It's not who you know. It's not what you do or how good you are. It's not what you say. I've heard so many people say, well, brother, if you'll just repeat this prayer with me, you'll go to heaven. It's not what you say. What is it, Brother Larry? What is it? Don't you have to confess? Yes! Don't you have to repent? Yes! Don't you have to understand and comprehend? Yes! All of those things are true, but those things will not save you. They're necessary, yes! But they won't save you. Well, what does save you then? It is so simple. And here's the whole message. I want to give you the whole message. Putting your total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not confessing. Judas confessed. He just didn't think Jesus would save him. He didn't trust him. It's not knowing him. He knew him, but he never put his trust in him. It's not understanding. He understood, but he never put his trust in him. You've got to come to the point in your life. And I don't care whether you pray a little prayer or whether you don't. I don't care whether you repent or whether you don't. I don't care whether you confess or whether you don't. But you've got to come to the point in your life that you understand, I am a sinner. I am doomed to a place called hell. I am headed there and there's no stopping it. There's nothing I can do about it. There's got to be that comprehension. And then there's got to come to the next point of saying, I'm going to do something about this. But I don't know what I can do. There's nothing I can do. And when you comprehend, I can't pray, I can't work, I can't get baptized, I can't join the church, I can't do anything, then you'll cry out to a holy God and say, God, oh God, have mercy on my soul.
Amen.
Oh God, forgive me of my sin. Oh God, is there any possible way you can save me? And God says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you say, I put my trust in what you did. And when I stand before God one day, and I stand before the throne of God, and God looks down at me and says, why should I let you in heaven? And I'm going to say, the only thing I can claim is the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He died for me. He paid for my sin. And if he ain't taking me in, I ain't going. It's him and him alone. It's putting your trust in him. Now, my question to you this morning, I don't care if you're a member of Independent Baptist Church. I don't care if you've been baptized 27 times. I don't care if you're best friends with Brother McGovern and Brother Wright. I don't care if you, I don't care what you know. You can quote the entire Bible to me. I don't care. Well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Well, whoop-dee-doo. My question is, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Because if you're trusting all those other things, please understand the way I'm saying this. I'm not trying to be insulting, but you're just like Judas. All show and no go. And one day, you will stand before God just like Matthew chapter 7, and you will hear the Lord himself say, depart from me. I never knew you. Doesn't matter. Take a good long look at what you're trusting for salvation this morning. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, we come before your throne. And God, I've tried to be faithful to your word this morning. God, I pray that this morning you would convict hearts and change lives. Father, I pray that you would help us to see that it's you and you alone and your Son and he alone that can save us. And it's not what we know or what we do. It's simply trusting in what your Son did on Calvary. May you get glory and honor from this invitation. If there's one here, it doesn't matter whether they're a member or not. If they're not sure, that they'd come and make it sure. Father, it doesn't matter whether they've been baptized or not. If they're not sure, that they'd come and make it right. Father, may you get glory from this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord begins to deal with your heart as the music begins right now. Would you come? If God's dealing with your heart, if he's not dealing with your heart, just stay where you're at. But if he's dealing with your heart, why don't you come right now? Maybe there's people that you know that need to be saved, that you think are maybe not sure. Why don't you come and pray for them? Whatever the need, this is your invitation.
If you're here right now, you say, boy, that just convicted me. Pastor, I am not certain what would happen to me if I were to die. I'm afraid I'm in the same position of Judas. I'm good at looking the part, but I don't know that there's ever been genuine conversion to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been trusting in the fact that you were baptized.